Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
When you're ready to pop the question, the last thing you want to do is second-guess the ring. At BlueNile.com, you can design a one-of-a-kind ring with the ease and convenience of shopping online. Choose your diamond and setting. When you find the one, you'll get it delivered right to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off your purchase. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
This message comes from BOF sponsor eBay. You'll know real when you get it. It'll say eBay Authenticity Guarantee. And you'll feel it. Maybe it's a head-turning handbag, a watch that says it all, jewelry that makes you feel like the gem, or sneakers and streetwear so fresh every step feels fly. When it comes to style and luxury, eBay gets it. They're making sure the things you love are checked by experts. And not just any experts, specialized experts. Real people who love this stuff with real, hands-on authentication experience. So when you see that shiny blue checkmark that says Authenticity Guarantee, shop with confidence. Every inch, stitch, sole, and logo is verified authentic through a detailed inspection. That's how you know that eBay's got your back. Because when you finally step into those sneakers, put on that watch, get your real gold glow up, swing that handbag over your shoulder, or step out in that streetwear, you'll realize that feeling is unlike any other. With eBay Authenticity Guarantee, you can trust that feeling of real is always in reach. Ensure your next purchase is the real deal. Visit ebay.com for terms.
This episode of Inside Fashion is brought to you by Shopify Plus. From the first sketch to the retail floor, you need a commerce platform to help you scale at the speed of your ideas. That's why the world's fastest growing brands like Steve Madden, Chubbies, Le Sportsac, and Gymshark rely on Shopify Plus to sell to their customers around the world. You'll be able to go wherever your customers are, from New York to Milan to Instagram, and they'll make sure you look brilliant in every size, from pop-up shop to mobile. Join over 5,000 brands on Shopify Plus at shopify.com/BOF.
We are the generation of Google when you can start a company and 1 year later, it's a billion-dollar company. And a lot of people have this dream. This is not my dream. It's not you destroy and then you repair. The DNA of Veja to deconstruct the product. Let's try to go back to the production chain, but back until the end.
What's been the biggest challenge?
To create a team. We adapt to the team. They don't adapt to Veja.
Everywhere you look now in the fashion industry, people talk about sustainability.
Yes, fashion is just the mirror of society. And sustainability is everywhere into the fashion world, but it's also in every world. And that's, I think, a big victory. Consciousness is always the first step. Then come the actions.
Hi, this is Imran Ahmed, founder and CEO of The Business of Fashion, and welcome to the BOF podcast. This week on Inside Fashion, I sit down with Sebastian Kopp, co-founder of Veja. Now, those of you that are not instantly familiar with the brand Veja should keep paying attention, because if you look down at the feet of people around you, many people are wearing these really cool, stylish sneakers with a graphic V on the side. Well, those sneakers are part of the Veja brand, a brand that's also been built on sustainable ideals. Last year, the company sold more than 1 million pairs of shoes. So how do you build a stylish, sustainable sneaker brand from scratch? Keep on listening to find out. Here's Sebastian Kopp, Inside Fashion.
Bonjour, Sebastian.
Bonjour.
It's nice to be with you here in Paris. It's a quite complicated situation right now because all of the power has just gone out in my hotel. So we are, by the good grace of sunlight on a very beautiful day in Paris, recording with you here. There's a lot to talk to you about. And I first learned about Veja because so many people at the BOF office are wearing Veja shoes. And there's a lot of fans in our team. But after having read a little bit about the company and all that you've accomplished, it's kind of an amazing story. And it's not what some people call an overnight success, because you and your co-founder have been working on this for quite some time. I wanted to start by just, if you can, I'm sure you've told the story 100,000 times, but you know, how did you come across this idea to start a sustainable footwear company?
Oh yeah, it's a long run story, and such a long run that it started before we started Veja. We were students. We know each other with Guilain. We have been knowing each other for 25 years now.
And what were you studying?
We were at we met in high school.
Okay.
And then we went. I went in the U.S. To study political sciences, economics, and he was studying on his side more economics. Mm-hmm. And then we graduated from university. We started working. I worked a bit for internet companies.
Okay.
He worked for consulting, and we ended up in I ended up in DC in 2001. He ended up in New York in 2001, working in investment bankings.
Okay, so nothing to do with fashion.
Nothing to do with fashion. We were, we did a lot of projects together. We created a magazine. We created a lot of student projects. Very interested by a lot of things. Very curious, and we ended up in banks, and it didn't last very long.
Why not?
Because we didn't like to be a small piece of a big thing that was heading nowhere. The money for the money was not interesting for us, and the culture, the dominant culture at the time, it was in 2001, was not what we were expecting for society. So we created an NGO. We went to see some big French companies saying sustainable development is important, ecology, social justice, economic justice is more and more important, or is going to be more and more important. What do you do in this in those fields? And what we propose to you is, you don't pay us, those big French companies, but we go on field and we try to study your projects linked to sustainable development, linked to ecology, linked to charity, linked to there were a lot of projects that we went to see, 70 projects around the world, in China, in India, in South Africa, in Brazil, Bolivia, like Morocco's, all around. And after 1 year and a half of studying, the partnerships between those companies, local NGOs and local population, we were a bit frustrated, because there were a lot of talk, there were a lot of speeches in New York, in Paris, in big cities from those big companies. But on field, what we saw was quite disappointing.
Can you give me an example of what you mean?
An example is South Africa. In South Africa, we arrived in South Africa 1 year after the big summit of Johannesburg about sustainable development in 2002. So we were there in 2003. And there were millions of dollars that were spent in sustainable development projects by big companies, big NGOs, big international institutions. 1 year later, there was nothing left. 1 year later, all the projects were stuck, were abandoned, were nobody took care of them. And 1 year before, it was great talks.
It was mostly about PR? Is that why these companies had committed to it?
It was goodwill, I think. It's not. I wouldn't say PR and communication. I think it's a short-term goodwill.
Right.
A short-term will of changing things. But then the day after, business comes back. Day-to-day comes back. And you don't have the time.
Right.
So that created our minds, that created our philosophy of what would be the most modern company? What is going to be a company tomorrow? A company will be to integrate into the business, not on the side, not charity, not you make million of dollars and then, or billion of dollars, and then you do the Bill Gates Foundation. It's not you destroy and then you repair. It's you create a project, you create a company, and you try to integrate social justice, economic justice, your environmental impact inside the business of the company. That's the first thing about Beja. Before thinking to do sneakers.
Right.
So our thought was that companies have more power today than politicians. Companies rule the world, and this was already in 2001, 2002, because they are in every country, because they can overlap politician decisions. So we say the power is in companies. So if we want to change, if we want to offer another model, let's try to create a company. Let's try to, from scratch, because the big companies, they are trying on the side to change, but they are not changing in the center, in the heart of the business, they're not changing. So let's try to do something.
So the original impetus, it wasn't really about sneakers. It was really about this idea of integrating and embedding values of social justice, of environmental friendliness or whatever in an organization from the beginning.
You know, I have a problem with the word values because it was more egoistic. It was more us. It was more if those kind of organizations, if those kind of companies don't appear, where is going to be the world in 20 years, in 40 years, in 50 years? We can see today how it is going,
right,
and where it is going. So that was more about we work in bank. We don't think it's the good way of society at the time. We don't think we're going in the good direction. Let's try to put what we have inside us, everything we have inside us, in the project, and you can understand what it is to create a project and to put everything you have mm-hmm. in this project to be happy, yeah? Because mm-hmm. You realize something that you have inside.
So why sneakers?
So why sneakers? Because it was something we had out inside and that we were wearing outside all the time since
right.
Our young age. It was a product we grew up with. It was a product of our generation. Like at the time, the adults, they didn't wear sneakers. The young kids, only the young kids were wearing sneakers every day. And also, it was a product we love. Like anywhere we went to sneaker stores, etc. Without being sneakerheads, without being in this world, which is quite interesting also. We didn't have a collection or whatever, but we liked the products, we liked the stories of hiking, of sport, etc. And we like also the symbol of the sneaker, which was a product that could symbolize the domination of Western countries on. I would say Far East countries, like all the sneaker production was made in China, Vietnam, Indonesia, and still is. And in a way that if people saw how it was produced, if people saw how people lived, how the people that were doing the products, making the products every day lived, maybe they wouldn't buy it with the smile they have. Mm-hmm. So because we saw that, we visited before Veja, like 1 year before doing Veja, we visited a factory in China, which was doing clothing. And we were shocked to see, because we were auditing this factory, and we were shocked to see how people were treated, how they were working, how many hours per week. And the most shocking thing was how they were living. They were living inside the factory. They were living in a room. We are sitting now on a room which is maybe 30, 40 square meters. They were living in 20 people was living in this room, and there were no toilets, there were no shower. And this was at the first or the second floor of the factory. So this, we were saying, if we knew, when we buy a product, if we knew how it was done, maybe we wouldn't buy it. Maybe.
What year was this?
2003.
Okay.
2003.
Right.
And maybe this was the first electricity, and it's nice to talk about electricity today because
have no electricity in the
hotel. We're doing a low energy interview.
So it was the spark. This was the spark.
I think so.
Yeah.
Talking with you, I think so. It was maybe it's the first step of consciousness for us. So we were 24, 25 years old at the time, and we said to each other, what could we do? I had job interviews at Google. Guilin had job interviews in big consulting firms, and we decided not to go in this way. We decided we said we have luck. We are very lucky people. Maybe we are part of the 5%, the most lucky on the planet. Our parents paid for our studies. We never had money problems. We always have a roof to sleep under. We didn't like anything. If we don't try to do something, if we don't use this luck, who has the chance to do it?
Exactly.
So let's take 1 year.
Yeah.
Even if we fail, no problem. If we fail, let's try to have a good time, to meet interesting people, to live adventures, etc. So traveling was important for us also. And if we fail, we fail. And but we don't have the simplest idea of how to begin, because we don't know this world. We don't know anybody in the fashion world. We don't know anybody in the sneaker industry. We don't know how you do a sneaker, how
you
design.
So you know absolutely nothing.
Nothing.
So how do you start?
The only thing we knew is as a consumer.
Right.
We knew the other side of the, mm-hmm. of the disc. But not the professional side,
right.
And so we decided to ask ourselves, how is it done? What is a sneaker? What is it? It's a sole, then it's an upper. What is the upper? What is the material used by this upper? And that created the second step of Veja, the DNA of Veja, to deconstruct the product. Let's try to go back to the production chain, but back until the end. And we didn't even know that nobody did that, even the big brands, they don't know where the raw materials come from, because they have intermediaries, the factory is ordering the raw materials and the fabrics, etc. So we deconstruct the sneaker until the end, going to the raw materials until the first raw materials, and then trying to replace those raw materials by more ecological raw materials. That's as simple as that. It's not very complicated on what we do. It's just a sole of a sneaker. Today it's plastic, 100% plastic. And what is plastic? Plastic is oil. Plastic is 99% oil. So let's try to replace this plastic by a natural raw material. And then we Googled, we study on the internet Converse in the 70s, in the 50s, it was made with rubber. So we asked ourselves, what is rubber? Then we chased rubber in Brazil, saying we went to plantations.
So that's how you ended up
in
Brazil, was because of the rubber industry.
Because it was the only country in the world that gathered all the raw materials we needed. Mm-hmm. So it was wild rubber, it was organic cotton, it was to have a factory that respects the workers' rights, dignity, and way of living. We spent 3 months in Brazil before Vejean, and we realized it was a strange country, meaning people were very conscious about the environment, very conscious about social equilibrium, because they have strong syndicates. The left politics is very strong in Brazil. You had at the time social summit, which was all the NGOs gathered in Porto Alegre, southern Brazil. So there was a lot of
But Brazil is still one of the most unequal countries in the world, right? Despite all of that activity and politics and stuff.
Yes, and it was, I think, even more at the time because Lula was not still elected.
Right.
And Lula tried to re-equilibrate a bit. Of course, it's only a politician. But this last 15 years, I think he did a lot, even if it's not enough. Mm. The other thing is we understand that Brazil was a bit like the United States. Once you speak Portuguese, you're Brazilian.
Yeah.
Once you speak well, there is no, I would say, a type of skin.
Yeah, because it's a very multiracial country.
Yeah, very mixed country.
Yeah.
You can be Brazilian, I can be Brazilian. A blonde girl with a white skin could be Brazilian. So once you speak the language, they integrate you. We felt that. So we felt very comfortable working in Brazil, learning Portuguese, and because they don't speak English.
Mm-hmm.
We loved the country. We loved what we saw in Brazil before starting Veja. So all those elements, we started there. We could have done it somewhere else, no problem. But every element, every signals said, do it in Brazil. So we went to in the on field. First, we went on field to meet organic cotton producers. We met a cooperative really touching. The farmers were growing on very small scale farm, like 1 acre, 2 acres. They didn't have enough water to drink when we met them. There was an NGO backing them to grow organic, saying it's the market of the future. Okay, you didn't sell your crop 1 year ago, 2 years ago, 3 years ago, but try to do this. And even for your health, your own health, it's better, because they were growing cotton, but they were growing also corn, beans that they were eating. And the first thing when you ask, and I remember one of my first questions asked, but why did you change for organic cotton? Because you were growing conventional cotton before. And they all said, I thought they would reply, because we can sell it more expensive.
Right.
They all said, it changed. We switched 6 or 7 years ago in 97, let's say. And they all said, because of our health. Since we grow organic, we don't have food poisoning, we don't have stomach achy, we don't have cancer, etc., etc. So they told all the stories. And I was pretty shocked, because as I was not an expert in sneaker, believe me, I was not an expert in organic cotton at all.
Sure.
I didn't know almost anything about the culture, and my partner was the same. But learning Portuguese, learning organic cotton, learning sneaker on field was one of the best experiences of our life. because we were catching everything. We were very curious, asking questions. It was a bit, and you can understand that, it was a bit like a journalist investigation for mm-hmm. us in a foreign country. So as interesting as that. And so we found those guys. They had 3 tons of organic cotton that they didn't sell from the last year, stocked. So we said, we can sit and discuss for a price, but to discuss for a price, we have to follow you 1 week, 2 weeks to see how you gather the cotton and then how you sell it. So we can determine a price. We were very influenced by fair trade also, which is fair trade principles. It's to create a business relationship with farmers that are listed as the 25% more poorer on the planet. You don't do fair trade with farmers with 5,000 acres of land. And fair trade is to determine a price which is cut from the market, nothing to do with the market. So we determined a price that was, I think, 65% more than the market price, because with this price they can live, sustain, invest, live better, etc., etc. And then 10% more for the collectivity, for the community. Mm-hmm. Then we went in Amazonia to find rubber and to learn about rubber. So, you know, every step we were talking to a guy, he said, like, go a bit farther. Talking to the next guy, yeah, go a bit further. I know rubber tapper community. And like a journalist can do. And we ended up in the forest, learning about how the lives of the rubber tappers, etc. Extraordinary story. And then we find a rubber tappers community, and we did the same thing. We established a price, decorrelated from the market price, and we bought rubber. Then we find a factory in southern Brazil, which is a bit like Europe, much more developed as a region than the one we work with for the organic cotton or the rubber. And to do the first prototype of Veja, I stayed maybe 2 months in a row at the factory, being with the guys. It was a factory with maybe 200, 300 workers. So I was every day walking by, learning, talking to the guys because it's a chain, with the modelist cell of the factory. I was there a bit their intern, you know.
It's a great way to learn, right?
Language intern and sneaker intern.
Right.
So they taught me everything. Not everything in 2 months, of course, but I was studying, and I came back in Paris with 6 pairs of the first Veja prototypes.
All the same shape?
All the same shape. One model.
One model,
6 colors.
Okay. And this was in?
2004.
Okay.
We started Veja in March 2004. In February, March 2004, Guilain did the first trip to Brazil. I did the second. He did the third. I did the fourth. We came back with, but every time we were staying 2 months. €2, €1, €2 a night hotels. And with the bathroom and the shower and the
shared,
with workers, etc. So it was like extraordinary stories. And then we came back to Paris, and we went to the Who's Next, which is a trade show, mm-hmm. and which was very important in Paris. And we said, so we have this project. We did all this in 8 months. And we put the sneakers on the table, and they say, okay, they're nice. Would you like to present them? We said, yes, but we don't know how it works. We present them and what? And they say, you meet stores, etc., etc.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot. We charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Quality sleep is essential. That's why the Sleep Number Smart Bed is designed for your ever-evolving sleep needs. Need a bed that's firmer or softer on either side? Helps you sleep at a comfortable temperature? Sleep Number Smart Beds let you individualize your comfort, so you sleep better together. J.D. Power ranks Sleep Number number one in customer satisfaction with mattresses purchased in-store. And now, save 40% on the Sleep Number Limited Edition Smart Bed for a limited time. For J.D. Power 2023 award information, visit jdpower.com/awards. Only at Sleep Number stores or sleepnumber.com.
Have you ever owned something that inspired you to up your game? For me, I got a chef-grade range recently, and now I'm cooking new things every single night. Seriously, no cuisine is off limits. The point is, when we own exceptional things, they inspire us to do exceptional things. The all-new Lexus GX has an exceptional capability that will have you seeing possibilities you never knew existed. Its advanced technology and luxurious interior mean that wherever you go, you'll never go without. I can picture myself with a car full of groceries, cruising down the highway, soaking up the sun with the available dynamic sky panorama glass roof. Ugh, pure bliss. Live up to the all-new Lexus GX. Luxury beyond limits. Experience amazing at your Lexus dealer.
This message comes from BOF sponsor eBay. You'll know real when you get it. It'll say eBay Authenticity Guarantee. And you'll feel it. Maybe it's a head-turning handbag, a watch that says it all, jewelry that makes you feel like the gem, or sneakers and streetwear so fresh every step feels fly. When it comes to style and luxury, eBay gets it. They're making sure the things you love are checked by experts. And not just any experts, specialized experts. Real people who love this stuff with real, hands-on authentication experience. So when you see that shiny blue checkmark that says Authenticity Guarantee, shop with confidence. Every inch, stitch, sole, and logo is verified authentic through a detailed inspection. That's how you know that eBay's got your back. Because when you finally step into those sneakers, put on that watch, get your real gold glow up, swing that handbag over your shoulder, or step out in that streetwear, you'll realize that feeling is unlike any other. With eBay Authenticity Guarantee, you can trust that feeling of real is always in reach. Ensure your next purchase is the real deal. Visit ebay.com for terms.
And so the first day of, it was September 2004, and the first day, we presented the six pairs, and the first day there was Le Bon Marché, there was the Ex Samaritain, which is coming back, which is which was a big department store in Paris, which is closed for 10 years and which is opening back in 1 year maybe, or 2 years, and like a lot of very good stores ordered the first day, because first they loved the model, the style. And then they were listening to us about the project without understanding very well, like ecology, everything. It was, they were a bit curious and a bit with their eyes questioning, you know.
But ultimately they bought it because of the product.
Yes.
Yeah. And the story was, the story behind it, the whole thing that you'd been through was kind of a nice to have thing that added on top.
Yeah, it was nice, but also I think... talking back today to the same guys we met this day and we remember very well, they said, really, it was like something we didn't hear before, something. So it was interesting, but also a bit frightening, because we never thought about all this in this way. And that's why also we liked it. On the second step, but first, of course, it was the style, and the price, and etc. So we started the first season. We produced 5,000 sneakers. We borrowed to a bank €50,000.
Okay.
To do the first production.
How do you get a loan when you're like 26 years old?
And you ex-banker, so you know how to dress up,
right?
You know how to talk, you know how to create a business plan, you know how a banker can listen, but also we did 7 banks and the last one said, okay, you want to do fair trade, so no money. You want to work in Brazil, very risky country. Mm-hmm. You want to work in the fashion business, impossible. Mm-hmm. In France. You want to do sneaker, the banker, they say, we only know Nike and Adidas. So everything is a risk in your project. So the 6 first bankers, they say, go out, please. Leave my room.
Au revoir.
Au revoir. And the last one, he said, you sound nice. I know my boss will get angry in 1 year or 2 years because we're going to lose everything. But here you are.
Wow. And so you got lucky.
Yes.
Okay. Very so lucky. With that 50,000 euro loan, yeah, you produced...
We produced 4,500 because we had 15,000 euros more, and they said you have the right not to pay everything, but you can wait to pay the last 30% or the last 25%. So we produced the first 4,500 or 5,000, and. And we sold it. It was the price was 70 euros in the stores, the first week everything was gone when we delivered. We delivered in March 2005, and the first week everything
incredible
gone. Because of the style. Nobody knew about the project. Nobody knew. Right. We didn't have a website at the time.
So what do you think made it take off so fast? Just the style? Were there other things that played a role?
Really just the style.
Wow. And just out of interest, because I went to Brazil for the first time probably in 2001. Mm-hmm. And I was in a petrol station and I walked in and they had these like amazing flip-flops called Havaiana flip-flops.
Yes.
They hadn't yet broken into the international market then. Uh-huh. When I went there.
That's right.
But you can see that they had this industry in Brazil for this kind of stuff.
No. They have a strong shoe industry because... And they have also an Apple factory.
Yeah.
It's a very closed country.
Yeah. Well, there's very high tariffs, right?
You cannot import in Brazil.
Yeah.
Tariffs for fashion, it's 120%.
Yeah.
So your price is doubled only with the tax.
Sure.
So it's a very closed country. In terms of culture also, you don't listen to a lot of American songs there.
Yeah.
Which creates magnificence.
Yeah, and it has its own ecosystem of fashion, right? Which is
exactly.
Okay, so these sneakers, all of the thousands of them, 4,000 or 5,000, they sell out. Then what do you guys do?
Then all the stores call back and say, can you deliver more? Can we reorder, etc.? And we say, you're going to have to wait six months, guys. And they say, what? Yes, because the next production, we don't have the money. You didn't even pay us, so wait a bit. We didn't know if it was if it's gonna sell very fast. So the next delivery was September, and we doubled, and it was the same thing. So we grew like this, but we doubled, but it was starting from nothing. So the growth of Veja was quick, but when you start from zero, it can be quick.
It takes 3 years a long
later,
time.
Yes,
yeah.
And yeah. This time we loved the lot of time we took to create Veja, because this rhythm was human. I think we can avoid a lot of obstacles by being slow. A lot of obstacles coming from ourselves also, because as a manager, for example, at 25 years old. We were not ready.
Yes.
And now I'm 40 years old and I don't even know if I'm ready. Ask the team. And so everything takes time. We are sure today that beautiful things take time.
Yeah.
That we are the age of, we are the generation of Google when you can start a company and 1 year later, it's a $1 billion company. And a lot of people have this dream. This is not my dream.
Got it.
We like the slow pace. We like to build the house brick by brick. at the right place, put with love. And this this long run also creates a lot of strength. I use this image of we're more interested in the roots of the tree than with the tree growing like crazy and being very weak because it grew
too fast. Got it. So, but something's happened in the last couple of years or so with Veja. I think at least for me, I now see it everywhere. You know, if I look down, you know, inevitably I'll be in a airport or in a...
No, you know, the like, pace is still the
so
same.
So then how has it...
No, the pace is still the same, yeah. But we had a lot of demands from the US, for example.
Right. Yeah.
And we didn't open because we didn't have the production. We didn't have enough production.
And still everything is made in Brazil?
Still everything is made in Brazil.
And you've grown the kind of supplier relationships and factory and everything?
To give you numbers, the first year we bought 2 tons of organic cotton. Mm-hmm. This year we buy 200 tons.
Wow. And how many pairs of shoes this year will you sell?
This year, we maybe I can talk about 18 because
sure.
I know and I don't want to. In 18, we sold 1 million pair of shoes.
Wow. So from 5,000 shoes in that first season.
Yes.
To 1 million pair of shoes. That's
Which
incredible.
Is big, but when you compare to big brands, it's...
Of course, but for a company that started from scratch by two guys who are investment bankers and studied political science...
We were trying to be investment bankers.
to grow a company like that is, you know, is really, really impressive. What's been the biggest challenge for you in this journey?
The biggest challenge is, I think, to create a team. Understand that everybody in the team has to become an example for the other. Understand that if you think in a way, not everybody is forced to think in this way, and there are multiple visions inside the company.
And how do you get everyone aligned against a single vision then?
We don't get everyone aligned. What we try to do is to put say, okay, you know how to do that, but what do you like to do? And that's what I want you to do. What you like to do, what you are made for, what you are passionate in. That's what we try. We adapt to the team. They don't adapt to Veja. Of course, maybe it's a bit exaggerated.
Right, because you still have to have a practical idea of, you know, making money and having a, you know, you started this company with a very clear purpose. Mm-hmm. So I guess some people are drawn to the company because of that purpose and they relate to it.
And we were talking with Marine 5 minutes before the interview. Some people, I tell them, the door is open. You're not bound to the company. You're not... if you want to leave, you can leave. If you want to go in, you can go in. If you want to grow, you can grow. If you don't want to grow, you don't grow. Like
it's up to you, basically.
Yes, yes. I respect a lot what people want personally. Then we try to adapt it to the vision of the company. Mm-hmm. And then inside Veja, you have many visions. Like some came and they didn't have a single idea of what was ecology, of what was fair trade, etc. And it's nice to see that 5 years later, they are the most invested. And some came with a lot of vision, political visions, ecological visions. And you see that maybe they lose it in the time. So. That's the biggest challenge, and that's the biggest, also the biggest success, I think, of Veja, is the team today. Mm-hmm. Is that we have a lot of talents, we have a lot of diversity inside Veja, and this to build it strong takes time.
Yeah. One other thing that's radically changed since mm-hmm. you started. Is that everywhere you look now in the fashion industry, people talk about sustainability.
Yes. Talk or do?
Well, I don't know. That's my question for you, which is, you know, the conversation around sustainable fashion and responsible fashion. It's everywhere now. You know, in the beginning, it was this tiny little corner in the fashion industry. And people thought that people who were interested in sustainable fashion, it was kind of like granola. You know, it was like a very specific type of person. That's not true anymore. Do you think the industry is really making enough change when it comes to the way we design, create, manufacture, and distribute products?
I think I would be the worst judge about it. And I was judging a lot when I was 25. I was getting maybe angry sometimes, but time told me that maybe you don't have to look around too much. Maybe you don't have to judge too much about what the others say, about what the others claim, but that everybody has his own way, his own pace. I think even you say that sustainability is everywhere is a victory today. Then how it is done, what is the difference between the difference between the speeches and the actions? Maybe I let everybody judge.
That's where there's still a big opportunity. I think there's a level of awareness now.
It's just the beginning, yeah. I think.
I hope so. I mean, there's so much more to do, right? Because this industry, you know, I've been sitting here in Fashion Week and just kind of experiencing, even just I find Fashion Week environmentally questionable at times, you know, with everything that comes along with it.
Maybe to get a bit broader and fashion is just the mirror of society. And sustainability is everywhere into the fashion world, but it's also in every world. Mm-hmm. It's not only fashion. It's food. It's the talk about the planes. It's in transportation,
right.
Of course. It's in the way we consume, the way we buy stuff, the way we behave. It's everywhere. And that's, I think, a big victory. Then I think that consciousness is always the first step. Then come the actions. And I think the generation coming will take the action. We have to take the actions, of course.
There's not much time left.
This urgency speech are not my problem. Mm-hmm. I don't like urgency because you always make mistakes in urgency. We have to be...
So when Greta Thunberg
it's more
looks,
being focused.
Yeah.
It's more being focused than to be in an urgency state, which is not a sustainable state,
right?
Or a sustainable vision to say yes, it's urgent, it's now. No. Because you fear, you create fear when you do that.
Well, I think the reason people have moved into that, they're using, instead of saying the climate change, they're calling it climate crisis or climate emergency, is to create urgency because there's still a level of awareness amongst consumers, which is not there. And I think if anything's happened over the last few months with the Extinction Rebellion and, you know, Greta Thunberg
which
and all
great.
Of this, this stuff is important about creating that consciousness.
Exactly.
One last question for you, which is, you know, for that next generation that's coming up who want to build their own sustainable fashion business or any business,
mm-hmm.
what's your advice for them?
I would say do what you love. Be the first thinker, consumer, user of what you will do. Don't believe bankers. Don't believe... the thing that shocks me today is this ecological urgency and the lot of talks about raising funds, about raising money, all the time, this is not going in the right direction. Raising money, investors, etc. Why?
Is your business still 100% independent?
Yes, that's very important for us.
Right.
Because it's our freedom. We know this as ex-bankers. It's also a way to grow organically in a not a literary sense,
naturally. Yeah. At a sustainable pace.
I think so. And that's maybe what society is lacking today. This fight against money and ecology and social justice is a real fight. And maybe we have to lower a bit our way of living, of our way of traveling. And I put myself first into the line to create even something that is cooler for us, that is nicer. You have your day with maybe 10 meetings. I do have the same. Maybe it's not so good. And running after dreams, but also after money. Maybe we have to slow down a little bit, and maybe we'll be everybody will be happier in this sense. That's what we try to do, even if I run a lot.
Well, Sébastien, thank you.
Merci.
I hope to follow along this journey. It's a really interesting story. And
thank you.
Congratulations. It's very impressive.
And congratulations for BOF.
Oh, thank you. Thank you. That's all for Inside Fashion this week. I'm Imran Ahmed, founder and CEO of the Business of Fashion, bidding you farewell from a beautiful sunny day in Paris without electricity. Bye.
If you enjoyed this conversation, you might also be interested in joining BOF's global membership community, BOF Professional. Our members receive exclusive deep dive analysis in our Daily Digest email, as well as unlimited access to our archive of over 10,000 articles, our new iPhone app, special print issues, and all of our online courses and learning materials from BOF Education. For a limited time only, we are offering our podcast listeners an exclusive 25% discount on your first year of an annual BOF Professional membership. To get this special offer, click on the link in the episode notes, select the annual package, and enter the special code PODCAST2019 at checkout. We hope you enjoyed this podcast. Please leave us a rating if you did, and don't forget to share it with your friends.